Good afternoon. Welcome to Community Focus. My name is Melvin Burns. You may normally know this program is hosted by myself as well as my friend and brother, Gregory T. Roberts. Again, keep Gregory T. in your prayers and thoughts. He is still recuperating. And every Friday, we hope to have him back sooner. Friday at 2 p.m. This is what we do, Community Focus, where we interview guests and educate and inform ourselves about things taking place in our community. Let's start with the weather on this chilly Friday, the fifth day of December. Today's weather, there is a 65% chance of snow, a low of 19, high of 33, although my forecast tells me that it feels like 15 outside. Tomorrow, 70% chance of rain, low of 23, high of 32. On Sunday, again, a 70% chance of snow, low of 14, high of 29. On Monday, low of 10, high of 25. Tuesday, low of 23, high of 38. Next Wednesday, 90% chance of snow, low of 25, high of 37. And next Thursday, low of 20, high of 26. So a little more snow, a little more cold to continue as we work our way through this December month. Before we bring on our next guest, I know that you all, I'm believing you all look forward to my five list every Friday. So today's five list, I have five celebrities or well-known people that are still alive. And all these folks are in their 90s. Number one, you may have seen he had a birthday party recently. Berry Gordy, founder of Motown and music and entertainment mogul, is 96. Marla Gibbs, famous from 227 and Jefferson's, is 94. We have Rosie Greer, who I did not realize was still alive. Some of you younger folks may not remember him. First, he was an outstanding football player for the Los Angeles Rams. Did a little acting on TV. He was also famous for being one of the guards for the Kennedy family when Robert Kennedy was shot. Andrew Young, one of my somewhat heroes, former mayor of Atlanta, former ambassador to the United Nations, is 93. And in closing out the list, the opera singer Leontine Price is 98. So let's celebrate our elders that are still with us on this Friday. All right. As we do here at Community Focus, we always bring you interesting and exciting guests, and today is no different. Would you join me in welcoming to our program for the first time, Mr. Tim Crosby?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's good to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Good. Now, this is our first time meeting, although we're talking prior. I know quite a bit of your family, but for our audience, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about you?
I'm Tim Crosby. A lot of people know me as DJ Top Notch, born and raised in Muskegon.
Okay.
After I graduated, I went to Central Michigan for a few years, and then after college, I just ended up staying up there and working at the club. That's when I really got into music and doing events and DJing and different things of that nature. 2023, I moved back here in April, and ever since then, I've just been just trying to grow my brand and get my feet back out here and spread my wings.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll get your name out there a little bit more and folks will hear the program. But let's talk about the event that you have coming up in December.
So something I've always wanted to do is always, you know, give back to the community, the same community that supports me every time I go out there and I'm on the decks and I'm spinning music. So this Christmas, I partnered with Hustlin' Heights, 103.7 The Beat. With Mimi Rankin at the Men and Women Character Program, and a couple other people, a lot of other local DJs, partner with them as well to make this event come to life. It's going to be held at Hustlin' Heights December 12th from 6 to 9. We can accept presents and gifts prior to that, and we're going to drop them off December 17th at the school party, Edgewood Elementary. And so we'll be accepting gifts after the event as well, up until that date.
Okay.
It's be at Hustlin' Heights. It's called Santa's Little Hustlers.
Okay.
You know, so we're gonna try to hustle around and get some gifts for the kids, and you know, just make Christmas enjoyable for everybody and brings some smiles to the families. Okay. Especially, you know, the times we live in nowadays, sure. You know, it can be very hard on some people, especially sure. with kids. My friends have kids and, you know, I see what they go through and how they're hustling every day to go through and do what they do to make it happen for the kids. So, you know, if I can do something to help, okay. help out the community in that way, then that's something I want to do.
Okay. For the gifts, what age group will they go to?
So it'll be the elementary school.
Just so people kind of know what kind of gifts to get. We're talking about what kindergarten through about third or fourth grade.
Yeah, probably up to okay. fourth or fifth grade. Yeah.
Boys and girls gifts.
Boys and girls, yeah.
Okay. Now, should they bring them unwrapped or wrapped?
We can bring them unwrapped. Okay. And then you can either, we have a couple drop-off locations.
Okay.
You can drop off at 395 Broadway, which is the actual Hustlin' Heights place where it'd be held.
Okay.
You can just go up to the bartender and they'll put them back in the office.
Okay.
Or you can go to Muskegon Heights High School and drop them off at the main office okay. and they'll put them in a safe location as well.
Okay.
If neither one of those work for you guys, just message me, you know, via social media
okay.
or get my contact number and I'll come pick them up so we can make it happen.
Whatever it takes, right?
Whatever it takes. We're going to do it this Christmas yeah. for them.
Okay. So now the event on the 12th, what will take place then?
So the 12th, we'll come there. We actually have karaoke.
Okay.
So I'll be spending just like some Christmas music,
right.
You know, just really good time. Allow people to meet some people and just talking vibe out. We have karaoke from 6 to 9. We're going to call okay. it karaoke for a clause.
Okay.
right. So we're just hoping people just come out, you know, drop a gift. I'll be rattling off a couple things for people to win as well. You know, just sing either like your favorite song or your favorite Christmas song. And mm-hmm. that's what we'll be doing from 6 to 9 there.
Okay. So what made you decide to put on this event?
It's just something inside me just said mm-hmm. for a long time now.
Okay.
I've always wanted to be able to do it. And now this year is the first year I felt like I was able to actually do it, to uh-huh. be able to have the platform that I have now to be mm-hmm. to be as built up as it was.
Okay.
The people I have around me that, you know, push me and drive me to want to do more for just myself and okay. for other people as well. And this was the year I was able to do it. And okay. I want to make it happen.
Is it something you've been thinking about for a while?
It's something I've been thinking about for a while. When I was uh-huh. in college, I used to do music.
Okay.
So I threw a benefit concert for a guy I used to work with. Okay. He was very sick, had over like 100 okay. surgeries in his life already.
Oh, wow.
So just helping people always makes me, you know, it just feels good. And okay. knowing that I can help somebody out in a way that, you know, they weren't expecting and, you know, unexpected help, you know, should always uh-huh. raise some spirit somewhere.
Okay. All right. So you talk about, just to get our audience get to know you a little bit, you talk about, you know, you when you just first get this interest in becoming a DJ top notch. Okay.
DJ top notch. Okay. So
when did the whole thing about being a DJ start?
So I used to be like a music artist. I, you know, I was doing music videos okay. and off of that, I had a following in college and
okay.
the club owner came to me and was like, hey, you should start doing events at the club. You know, we can, okay. you know, bring some people or whatever. And I hired a DJ and, you know, shout out to all the DJs that helped me, you know, but, okay. You know, sometimes I just like play this, you know, so then I kind of just gotten into DJing. A lot of my friends were DJs and uh-huh. then I just kind of got into DJing my own events and it just became a thing.
Okay. And you say you moved back to Muskegon a couple of years ago?
Yep. 2023, I moved to Muskegon.
Okay. So are you busy most weekends? Or you found a lot of events to do around here?
I would say ever since May. Okay. I've been booked every weekend, Friday, Saturdays. Sometimes, you know, I get an afternoon event and a night event.
Okay.
We've done weekday events. We used to do karaoke at a place. So I would say I'm very booked and blessed right now. And
all right, good.
Excited for that.
Okay. So now every DJ has their thing, you know. I know. So if I book you, what's the thing that makes you good at your craft?
I just love it. You know, so I think. Uh-huh. When you truly love like what you do, you just feel the energy different. You know,
okay.
you can feel what I'm doing, and
okay.
my goal is to, you know, make, you know, the energy of the room go up and for the people to have a good time. So I kind of feed off the people, and you know, I want to engage mm-hmm. with the guests. And then, you know, when you can tell that somebody really loves what they do, you love watching them do it. You know,
yeah.
and that puts you in a good mood too. So I would say I'm just original. I'm just me. You get what you get, top notch.
Okay. All right. I hear you. So let me ask you this, you know, so everybody, when they, you know, when you start off, you know, you might not have that 500 room. What are some of the places when you're getting started that you've DJed at, you know?
So actually,
when without naming any names,
actually, when I started DJing, I was in college at the only club up there, which everybody goes to every weekend.
Okay.
So when I first started DJing, to be honest, I started DJing for, you know, 500, 600 people in the club.
Oh, you started off like that. You just started. See, I'm thinking you started somebody's basement with your eight friends, you know, a birthday party.
No. But now, like, when I started off, you know, I had already had a big following, you know, at Central Michigan. So I started off, you know, with big crowds. Now, if you want to get into that, when I move back to Muskegon,
rebranded.
Yeah, I move back to Muskegon, you know, 2023. I'm not sure if I bought my board to maybe that fall or early 2024. Uh-huh. And then at that point, it was like nobody knew me in Muskegon. Uh-huh. You know, they all knew me as Tim. We went to school with, you know, uh-huh. Nobody really knew like top notch or he's DJing or he prints shirts. Throw that out there. So I would say, you know, 2024, it was like friends' backyards, okay. Friends' basement.
Was that hard? Was it humbling or?
It was to me. I always knew like there's always more, and I know okay. you can't just jump start and just get okay. anywhere. You know, I know you have to put that work in. Uh-huh. I know it's going to take time. You got to pay your dues. So uh-huh. I kind of was like, I was still learning some Muskegon music and Central Michigan music.
So is that a thing?
Yeah.
So depending on where you are, I mean, like if you did a part here in Grand Rapids, would it be different music?
I like to read the room, but I would say that different cities have, there's obviously that pool of songs that everybody's going to listen to, you know? I would say even in Muskegon, from going from venue to venue in Muskegon, uh-huh. Definitely going from like Grand Rapids to venue, personally, I like to change my music anyways.
Okay.
You know, I don't want you to, you know, see me downtown on a Saturday and, you know, see me somewhere else, you know, a month later. It's like, he's going to play this song right after this song. I hope they never catch me like that. So that's not something I can do. So I always like to change my music, but absolutely, I would say every venue, every place, depending on the people, is going to have different music that they want to hear and want to play and vibe to.
If you get like a group of old people like me, you got to, so you're young, but you got to know your 80s and 90s music.
Oh, yeah, 80s. So
you will name stuff, you're like, who is that?
No, that's, I had that this summer. I did this older lady's birthday party for, uh-huh. I think she was turning maybe 60 or so.
Okay.
And it was like oldies and blues, you know? Yeah. So I think like the first 3 weeks, you know, leading up to it, I'm just like hitting my friend's moms up, hitting up like my friend's older sister. And I'm like, hey, I got this party coming up and, you know, I turn up. So I'm like,
what were they turning up to
then, like in really in the 80s and 90s, uh-huh. you know? So we got to sit down with them and, you know, just doing that. That brought them joy. They'd be like, oh, I remember this. You know, so I definitely like to do my homework before my event and get the music right. But yeah, I had to learn the 90s and blues and,
you know, and all that. You know, I'm not a musical person. I've shared this on the radio before. My family is. And I was at a wedding reception about 2 years ago. And that was the first time it had a mix of older people like me, 60 and over, and younger people like in their, you know, under 25. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed at the way the DJ would mix the music, if that's even the right word, but he'd like, it maybe intro with something new and then lead in the old song and counter back. And I was like, everybody was able to dance and get on the floor and enjoy themselves. And that was the first time I really done them, you know, and I love when people do things I don't do and I learn about it. But that was one of the first times I really noticed. Like, you know, he really made that event good, because it could have, you know how you, all the old people sit and wait for their songs, and they have their songs, so then all the young people get up and wait for their songs, you know. But he kind of got everybody into being on the floor and dancing and having a good time. So it just really kind of dawned on me that it's like, yeah, it's really, you know, how much it made the event that much better.
And if you know, if you actually listen nowadays, a lot of popular songs now are samples.
And see, that's what it was, as you said, is. I'm thinking it's one song because I hear the music. Then I get up, like, I don't know that song, but I know the music.
Yeah. So I like to do that too. A lot of take the old samples and mix it, and I just like to have a lot of fun with it. Uh-huh.
Good. And so you get back here to Muskegon, you're sort of rebuilding your brand. What kind of things do you do to get your name out there with people?
Social media for sure is huge nowadays, but also I think more important than that is being able to put the face to the name. Mm-hmm. You know, going to different events, showing up for different people's events, just showing up where they're going to be. I believe I'm still old school and traditional. I still go to the bars and hand out my business card.
Okay.
Two, three times. like some places I've had to go to, you know, like three times before like they let me in there. And, okay. you know, now we built a relationship to where, you know, I'm in there more often now. So, yeah, I go hand out business cards. You know, I got flyers here. So yeah. I go hang out flyers. I'm not afraid to just talk to different people. Like, mm-hmm. I plug myself wherever I'm at, you know, hey, I'm a DJ, you know, somebody can like be walking down the street, like, oh, my baby yeah. turns two tomorrow. I'd be like, you need a DJ.
Yeah. And these questions might seem strange, but one of the things, one, this program allows us to just get people formed to not just do it, but talk about what they do. And we get a lot of young people here. That might be a 16-year-old today, you know, saving up his money to get whatever equipment he's thinking. And you've been doing this for a while. And so I always like the idea of people sharing. Information. When were there people that kind of shared you and taught you early on when you were first starting off and gave you tips on what to do and not do?
So, I mean, equipment is definitely important. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say like you need the top of the line, but definitely invest in yourself and invest in your equipment. Mm-hmm. Definitely number one, and practice. Like,
yeah,
if that's what you want to do, you know, you got to put the hours in. It's not just going to come overnight. I watch YouTube videos. Okay. I text my friends or I'm at my friend's event and I see him do something cool. I'm like, hey, how'd you do that little trick right there? You know, like,
oh, wow.
Okay. I like to share information and, uh-huh. you know, share it back and just work with different people. They're not always going to like you. You're not always going to like your craft, you know, but eventually uh-huh. you just got to stick with it. And, you know, over time, like, just keep going with it.
Okay. Good. That's good. And so you're back. So we're back, and you're back here now. Your name's out there. You're hosting this Christmas event. What are some other things you hope to addition to? I mean, you want to work regularly, of course. What are some other goals you think you have for yourself?
So on top of doing like the Christmas event this year, next year, mm-hmm. I want to actually do something for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So I want to do a lot more different community events. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's like Thanksgiving, you know, get involved with the kids more, maybe like something for the summer, like mm-hmm. a little carnival or parade or, you know, like a little fun day event for sure. them or something like uh-huh. that. You know, I definitely want to get more involved that way. And I want to just do more events okay. wherever they are.
Okay. Okay. Well, before we go much further, if people are listening today and they want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
So my social media is pretty much all the same. It'd be Top Notch for us.
Okay.
My Facebook, you know, is Tim Crosby.
Okay.
I got my email address at topshousemusic11@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just shoot me a message. I respond. I only got one hand, so,
you get to you eventually.
It may take like 2-3 business days, but we'll get back to you for sure.
Okay. So how about some other personal goals in terms of like, is there like a venue you want to host an event at, like one day I'd like to have be at this place? I know, is there any things like that you have in mind? We'll have to say, but just do you have, you know, I don't know, maybe you should say, maybe put it out there in the atmosphere. Yeah.
You know, I've done a lot of bars and clubs around here. Mm-hmm. Definitely would be a goal to get in every spot at least once.
Okay.
No, just to be like, yeah, I've been there.
Okay.
That'd be cool to do around Muskegon. On top of that, I want to keep growing. You know, I want to do festivals.
Okay.
You know, even if it's a local festival okay. or somewhere else, I want to do like a large festival somewhere. That's a lot of what I want to do next summer. Is I'm okay. hoping to get booked at like 3-4 festivals or okay. big party summer events somewhere. That's my next goal right there.
Okay. Now let's help people out a little bit. People do this with every profession. You know, I'm a pastor also, so people call me and want to do a wedding or something. That's certain things now I tell people, look, whether it's me or not, here's some things you want to make sure you ask or don't or say or expect. So if people want to call you booking an event, what's some of the things they need to make sure they convey to you?
So something I like to know is the location of the venue, mm-hmm. How many people are going to be at the venue. Mm-hmm. And then I'm always going to ask, you know, is there a specific genre of music that you want? Mm-hmm. Do you want, you know, just this and this? Do you mm-hmm. want it clean? Do you want requests?
Yeah.
Then I tell them, send a playlist over. Mm-hmm. I feel like not guaranteed I'm going to play your whole playlist.
Okay.
But at least I know, like, I'm swimming in the right ballpark uh-huh. with the music. So I'll take a lot of their I got booked for an event in July next year already. So she sent her playlist over already, and it was like,
is that like a repeat event or somebody just booking it?
So it was actually I got the business phone, and it was actually one of the first times somebody called the business phone.
Okay.
I didn't really know. You know, I sent them a quote.
Okay.
They got back to me.
They felt like a professional.
Yeah. You know, it was like, I want to
get back with you.
You know, sent the invoice for the deposit, and that was one of the first times it actually worked like that. And I kept people like, why you got two phones? I'm like, I got, it's my business phone. I'm like, it's gonna, so for that to actually, you know, start happening and you know, believing in myself when I told people. But she sent the playlist over, and I want to say it was like, man, maybe like 19 hours or something. Her events are like back to back days, like 6 hours. I was like, how about you send over a must play?
Got to trim it down a little bit.
Yeah, so she was like, yeah, well, if you kind of just stick to these ones then, and then, you know, just add in whatever else that you think mixes well with it, then that's how we're going to do the event. So it's, I usually try to tailor my events to them, give them the top-notch experience.
How about when people walk, you know, when you're at an event, I mean, I assume you kind of have an idea of what you do. When people walk to you and want to make requests, you know, how does that go? You know? I see you laughing.
So if it's like a private event and the lady says like, I'm taking requests or whatever, and she sends the people over, cool. Sometimes people come with a request and it's like, it's just out of the wrong ballpark. You know, you could be playing like some T-Pain and they'll come and be like, can you play something complete opposite?
Yeah. So like, they're gospel airs. Like, yeah, this ain't that event, you know?
Can you play Kirk Franklin?
Yeah, it's like, really? Like, looking around like, I don't think this is a Kirk Franklin event.
You know, but sometimes taking requests is cool. There's a song like that actually, the people like that I didn't know. You know, I don't know all music like that. So, I mean, sometimes taking requests is cool. You get to learn some new music, or I can take that as a challenge and try to mix it in with what I'm doing, even though it doesn't fit, and try to make it go. So sometimes I take it as a challenge. So I try to take requests most nights, even though they're not my favorite thing. But
you kind of want to be prepared and know what's coming. Yeah.
I did a high school dance, Orchard View High School's Christmas dance, homecoming dance. I've never had more requests a day in my life.
Is that right?
it was like every half second they were coming up. So but no, it was cool. I try to make everybody happy.
Now, you mentioned also clean versions of music. And again, I've learned this just from this stuff here on VB. You got to be, you know, popular songs. Most artists put out a clean version. Yeah. And so that's some people got, you know, I've been at events with younger people. It's like, you know, like, oh my. So that's kind of what that normal audience you got there. And are you always prepared for the?
Yep. So that's another thing I asked them too, is like, is it gonna be kids? Do you want clean music or something like that? So there's DJ record pools out there.
Okay.
Basically like a YouTube, but for DJs.
Okay.
And you can go on there. That's where a lot of them get their music, and you can download a clean version, extended version. You can download remixes from there. And there's also one that I have that works internally in my program. That's like a live streaming service. So, you know, I have a, you know, kind of an unlimited bank when it comes to music. If I have Wi-Fi, I have unlimited music for
you. I got you. You know, you say two things that I want to emphasize. I think are really good. One, it's not just showing up with your equipment and playing music. You know, you talk about having to listen to music. You got to put in some work, put anything to do well, don't you? And whether it's a business or authors, everybody says the same thing. You got to put in the work. You can't, you know, you don't just show up, hey, I'm here, but, you know, for probably every hour you do an event, you put in how many hours you're ready for it, right?
Yeah, you know, it's daily, you know, because it just has to be right. You know, it's they chose me to curate their event.
Okay.
You know, and that's what they're all going to talk about. So I want to make sure that I give them something to talk about.
So when you, at the end of the night, you know, when you pack home, what makes you feel like you've had a good event?
Just seeing people's reactions and seeing them enjoy their time there. I always say, like, you know, when they're when these phones go up like this, you know, when you look around, you see people doing this when you're playing a song, then like I feel like I know I'm doing something right, and okay. they enjoyed themselves. Okay. I would say more or less maybe the next day when I get on the internet,
okay,
and I can see that they posted on their story okay. or they posted on their timeline that, you know, the same video I saw them take, they posted, and I'm okay. like, oh yeah, they really enjoyed themselves. So
okay. Do people come to after events and express how they felt about how you did?
Yep. I always appreciate those people because they didn't have to do that, you yeah. know, at all. So they took the time to come tell me that they enjoyed themselves. I definitely really appreciate that. Or they'll shoot me a message on Facebook or whatever and let me know, like, hey, like, you were the DJ last night. I'm like, yeah. And it's like, hey, man, good job. You know, me and my girls had a good time, or me and the fellas enjoyed ourselves. So that's always nice.
Okay. Folks, we're on the air here with Tim Crosby, also DJ Top Notch.
DJ Top Notch.
DJ Top Notch. And he's co-sponsoring an event on December the 12th. It's Santa's Little Hustlers and raising some, there you go, raising some toys and events, toys for young people. You know, we've just had Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving dinners and coat giveaways all over the county. And so it's good to see that spirit continue as we go into Christmas. I'm going to throw you a couple of curves. Again, we were talking a little bit before you came in. I actually went to high school with your mother and your dad. We go way back. He used to think he could play a little football, a little baseball.
I heard he was good at baseball.
Yeah, so give your folks a shout out while we're here.
I will.
Yeah, but it's good having you. It's good getting to know you. We hope that people will come out and really support this event. It's good to see a young man like yourself, you know, wanting to give something back. Okay. And want the folks community to support what you're doing. And if you need a good DJ for an event, you're here. Why don't you give folks a final appeal to come out and support the toy drive?
So we got the toy drive December 12th, and you know, I can't do it alone. You know, it takes a village and it takes mm-hmm. a team to want to do something great. So I hope you guys all come out and help support me. It'd be a good time. We got karaoke. You know, I know y'all know that Mariah Carey song. We can all sing it. We can all sing it together, you know. So I just want to do something different for the community, you know, just change it up and let people come out and just really enjoy themselves and really get in the Christmas spirit and just tell everybody Merry Christmas to each other.
Yeah. Okay. You can drop those toys off at Hustlin' Heights, 395 West Broadway. You can start the day anywhere up the event is the 12th, but you're collecting toys up until the 17th.
Up until the 17th. Then we're going to drop them off at their school Christmas party.
Awesome. Tim, thanks so much for coming today. It's been a pleasure sitting here getting to know you.
Thank you very much, man.
All right. All right. Thank you. Folks, we're going to take a little break, and we will be back with our next guest. Welcome back to Community Focus. Folks, will you join me in welcoming our next guest? He is no stranger to this station, no stranger to this program. Will you join me in welcoming Mr. John Covington?
Thank you for that welcome. Appreciate it.
I'm good, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. No complaints.
Good. Season's greetings to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Good, good. Well, we'll try to keep this to the time I allotted here because we might get started. And
man, you know, we can go.
It could be a couple hours. So we got constraints today.
Yeah.
But okay, let's cool. start off. I understand that you have a Christmas event we want to talk about a little bit.
Yes. So many of those who are watching or listening are familiar with Carlos Piggy.
Yes.
A lifelong resident of Muskegon Heights and mm-hmm. Muskegon, who met an untimely death in the opinions of all of us just over a year ago, 2024. Yes. And so his wife, Tina Piggy, has helmed a new foundation in memory and honor of Carlos Piggy, and it is the Carlos Code Initiative.
Okay.
So the Carlos Code Initiative exists to prevent youth gun violence by empowering young people with the values of respect, accountability, peace, and purpose.
Okay.
So it's just that simple, and again, it's honoring the legacy of Carlos Piggy. So the organization will mentor youth, nurture healing spaces, and cultivate leadership to create systemic change in our community and communities surrounding ours impacted by violence.
Okay.
So the first initiative is a toy drive. I know you just had a young brother on talking about a toy drive in the area. We can't have too many as far as I'm concerned.
Right, exactly.
There is no such thing as too many.
Correct.
So I just want to put that out there.
Yes,
sir. But we're going to be collecting toys. By the way, our target audience is ages 10 to 18.
Okay.
In Muskegon and surrounding areas at risk or impacted by violence. Now, as it relates to toys, you can drop off toys for any age.
Okay.
At the toy drive. And we're going to have boxes here. There may be a box being delivered right there where you are in a matter of minutes. But we've got some drop off locations. We've got a place in Spring Lake and Holland, and the names escape me right now, and they're going to have to forgive me. But places where Carlos previously worked. But in Muskegon, we're going to have drop off boxes at Hamburger Mikey's.
Okay.
Downtown Muskegon, Cajun Cuisine by us, thanks to Kaya Thornton and the good folks there. And going back, thanks Tim and folks at Hamburger Mikey's, right there where you're located at WUVS 103.7, 106.1. We're going to have a drop box there. And also Thomas Smith over at Urban Apparel on Peck Street.
Yes.
And so you'll be able to drop off toys or other things there from now until December 19th. And then on the 20th of December, we will culminate in a big, huge community event where we want people to bring their kids. I understand that Santa and Mrs. Santa are going to be there.
Okay.
That's what I understand.
All right.
I'm just saying. Santa's going to be there.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? And Mrs. Santa, and that's from noon until 4 p.m. at Ellen Grace Loftus right there at 2301 6th Street.
Yes. All right.
And so we want the community to come out. We want to make sure that we've got enough stuff for everybody. There is no kid in Muskegon County that should go without this Christmas. I don't care about circumstances, what happened. Yes. A blame game, all of that. None of that exists here, right?
Yes.
Just want to be a conduit to providing.
Yes.
And it's just that simple. And that's really what this foundation, Carlos Code Initiative, is all about.
Awesome. For folks that may not know, when we know Carlos in the community, just give people a little background on his story.
Yeah, well, Carlos, just an incredible, incredible young brother who young compared to you and I.
Yes.
Okay. A younger compared to you and I came up in Muskegon. His mom is Joyce Piggy and his father's name escapes me. Please forgive me. But you probably know his dad.
Yeah.
But anyway, Carlos got things together in his life and went on to become a very well respected, honored young fella in the workspace and the work that he did.
Yes.
Responsible for hiring many folks throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And forgive me, the names of the most recent places he worked, they do escape me in the moment. Mm-hmm. But great employee. From what I understand from Rick Osum and others who helped give Carlos an opportunity to provide for his family, he went through a program when our Queen Blanche Smith was, and again, it's going to escape me, down there on Peck Street in Muskegon. She was running the, it's been some years ago now.
Yes.
But Carlos went through that program and was given an opportunity and he just took advantage of it and just soared. And just soared, remained in Muskegon Heights, could have lived anywhere, have gone anywhere, could have gone to another community, could have gotten that big house on the water had he wanted to. He could have gone anywhere, but he chose, he and his wife chose to raise their family right there in Muskegon Heights, which is where he was until the very end.
Yeah. You know, it's he's like the young man I talked to earlier. You know, something about that energy of young people giving back to their community, especially when they have a story. Yeah, I guess we all have a story, but
we all got
it's one. it's just some kind of energy it creates and synergy when, you know, you say this is my community and I want to be a part of it and give back to it. You know, and it's contagious like it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the story because we all have one.
Yes.
Some of our stories are more widely known than others, but we all have a story.
Yes.
Carlos was a part of the documentary that I did titled Black Man.
Yes.
And we just screened it recently in L.A. The NAACP Image Awards screened it a couple of weeks ago in L.A.
Okay.
And the audience, as always, they gasp when we get to the very, very, very end of the credits. And we do the in memory and honor of Carlos Piggy. The audience, they gasp. They don't know him prior to watching the documentary, but as they watch it, they feel connected to the brothers in the documentary. And I just remember on the right side, recording artist Major says to me in that moment, "Carlos passed."
Damn, that's something.
As if he knew him.
Because
he had gotten to know him throughout the documentary. And I said, yeah, he did. And so here we are to honor Carlos Piggy. And so people near and far, if you knew Carlos or you knew him from afar, you knew him well and knew him from afar, this is an opportunity to support his legacy, to support his memory and support the family.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so glad. I'm glad to hear that they're doing that. You're a part of making that happen.
Well, I couldn't say no. I couldn't say no.
One of those kind of things.
Yeah. Some things, you know, you have to make the time. You got to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Some things you gotta figure it out. And so, yeah, I'm excited to be a part of it. There are others. There's going to be some other media announcements, et cetera. Okay. But this is brand new, hot off the press. Just met yesterday, and I literally started texting, calling people, saying, "Hey, can we do a drop box? Can we do a toy box at your location?" And right away, Kaya Thornton responded, said, "Absolutely." Tim at Hamburger Mikey said, "I'd be honored." Paul Billings said, "It would be my honor."
Yes.
Thomas Smith said, "Of course."
Sure.
And so that type of support, we can't help but succeed with this initiative, Carlos Cold Initiative.
That's awesome. Look forward to it, not just the Christmas drive, but the other events that may have planned for the future and how it might impact our community. Good. So that's coming up. People can look for those boxes and the event on the 20th.
You can inbox. We'll have social media stuff up here pretty quickly, too. But if you can inbox me as well, if you have some questions or maybe you can't get to a Dropbox, even though we feel we've got the community pretty well covered. If you can't get to a Dropbox, we can send somebody to pick up your gift.
Okay.
If you got a toy or something you want to donate, monetary donations, tax deductible, you can do that as well. And so in the upcoming days, we'll be sure to share all of that information via our drop-off box locations and the owners, et cetera, respective owners there, but also via social media.
Good. We'll be looking forward to it. One of the things you said, you know, I noticed Thanksgiving, there were like dinners and giveaways all over a community. And again, you can't have too many. And so we'll look forward to sharing that with others, other events for taking place during Christmas. You know, like you said, it can't be too much.
Nope.
It can't be too much generosity, too much loving of our neighbors.
Absolutely. There are some things I think maybe we can have too many of in a community, but I don't think but I don't think supporting each other, we can never have too many outlets for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the more the merrier.
Yeah. Well, JC, we haven't caught up in a while.
It's been a minute.
What else is going on in your world these days?
You know, I'm still a buddy of mine just texted me an hour ago. He said, "JC, what else you got going on?" He came to the screening a couple of weeks ago, and Will Roberson flew out to L.A. And we just had an amazing time in L.A. a couple of weeks ago. But this brother hit me up, and he said, "What else is going on?" And I said something to him. I said, I think that's a sit down conversation, one, in person.
Yeah.
I said, and two, in some regards, I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I said, even at this ripe age, I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And his response to me was just classic, and I'm gonna hold that near and dear to me. I might post about it.
Okay.
But I'm still trying. I'm here, Melvin, and it's day by day. And
yeah,
some days I have great, I think, great ideas that come to fruition. Uh-huh. And then sometimes I think, man, what was I doing? What was I thinking?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I know that feeling.
What was I thinking? You know, just being transparent. But I've got a lot going on. I've had a very interesting last 4 or 5, 6 years, primarily since this documentary was released, and I've continued to work on it. So it's finished now. It's finally done. It's finished. Mm-hmm. And the most recent up-to-date version was seen in L.A. A couple of weeks ago. So I'm working on that, what exactly we're gonna do with that. And then I think, too, I'd like to go harder in the film production space. So if I could get 3 or 4 million from somebody watching.
Okay, let's put that out there.
You know,
I do have a project I need to put you on the spot about.
Yeah.
I might have messaged you about this, but I need to put you on the spot on the air about it. And you're going to say yes.
Yeah.
And again, I've been communicating with some other people. And I was looking through some books recently at Brother Robert Dawson's home. And I didn't realize you were a Debbie dude, as we used to call ourselves back in the day. You got a couple of years of service there. But Brother Dawson is 96. And, of course, you know, that was one of his pride and joys, as well as he still teaches men's Bible study every Tuesday. Mm. But we really need to put together something on that debutante cotillion club and the impact it had in our community.
It's a yes and a yes and a yes and a yes and a yes. As a matter of fact, I think the last text message I sent you, I may have sent you a message and said, this is really weighing heavy on me, and we've got to do this now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we kind of communicate. I don't put you on the spot on the spot.
Yeah, no. People have mentioned it. You put me on the spot.
And I've spoken to him, and he said yes. And, you know, because, you know, he can be, you know, but he said, you know, he said yes. He's up for it. And he said, you know, I don't know how much time I have, so
yeah.
But I'll hit you about it. I don't want to put in the spot. I've put out an atmosphere for some of those former debutantes and escorts.
I've spoken to some of them.
Yeah.
And Renee Mitchell Johnson is one of them.
Yeah.
And it's something that we need to start working on first quarter of 2026. And I'm definitely committed to it. It was just a special experience that really helped to mold most of us who were a part of it.
Yes.
If you didn't learn something from being a part of the debutante, it was a movement, really.
Yes.
Then it's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I mentioned to Renee a few weeks ago, I said, didn't we have etiquette? I think that's where I learned
which fork,
which spoon, which knife, how it was supposed to be situated, left to right, you know, all of that stuff, among other things that I learned that I will never, ever, ever forget. And you go through life and then you wonder, where did I learn that?
Exactly.
How did that?
I know this, but where did I learn that? Yeah.
Debutante. That's where a lot of us learned a lot of that. It was just a magical time. And I think it really made a difference in our community. I know that it did. And I think we're missing some of those things now. We're missing some of those
things.
It was just really a special, amazing time. I mentioned it to him. I saw him at a birthday party at your place maybe a month ago. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
My cousin Orlando's mom's birthday party.
Yes, yes.
Yep. And I told him, I said, I'm going to be getting in touch with you. He said, okay. You know, he still calls me Wesley, which I am Wesley, and that's fine.
Yes.
But he says, okay, Wesley. Okay. So, yeah, no, I'm in. You can put me on the spot.
I'm going to hit you up first part of 2026. Yeah.
Anything that I should be doing, always feel free to call me out. If you know it's something that I should be doing, call me out.
I wouldn't put you on the spot too bad.
No, it's okay. Yes. I'm a big boy.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned them. You were just out in LA and I saw some of the comments from Screening Black Men. Do you have any other screenings scheduled as of now?
Yes. Tentatively, Philadelphia, Chicago, DC, possibly Detroit, and where else? Huntsville, Alabama, Houston, Texas. So those details are all being worked out. So they're as of right now, they're tentative.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happened was some of my well-known friends showed up at the screening a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And that just took it into the stratosphere. And then I called them up and they ended up, we had a panel titled Black Man Rise.
Oh, okay.
Which was insane.
Mm.
Community conversation. We had to cut it short.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had to cut it short. From Muskegon, Will Roberson was there, and Demetrius Harris, who
is
an outstanding young brother who went to Cornell, played for
I know him very well.
He works with me.
Okay, does
and,
he?
And so he was there, and they would both, I think, attest to
tell
the fact
to call
that
me.
It was an amazing experience.
Tell Demetrius to call me. I haven't talked to him in a little while.
I will. I will. He's probably watching this. I'll make sure he knows.
Good. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, because I think I mentioned my uncle down in Indiana had seen it and was just impressed with it. And
now, where did he see it?
You know, I'm not sure where he saw it at.
Was he in Indiana? He may have seen
he's
it in
he's
Indiana.
He's talking Anderson because he I'm not sure where he saw it at.
He's in Anderson?
Yes.
It's green near there.
Okay.
But I don't believe he told me he was your uncle because obviously
did he leave that detail out?
Yeah, I don't believe he told me that because I wouldn't make a big deal out of that.
Okay. Yeah. Man, he was trying not to play on the family.
Oh, no. Hey, utilize your family, brother.
Yeah.
When you got a name like Burns, it's okay. It's okay. You utilize it.
Yeah. You know, you talk about you had to vent, and I watch our time, you know, Black Man Arise. How do you explain that energy you get when you get black men in a room together and they start sharing their stories?
You can't explain it. You can't explain it. I just got a little something right now when you said, how do you explain it? It's hard to explain that type of energy. It's like it's something that you got to experience. And then you walk out of there and you think, wow, what happened?
Yeah.
What was that? It's like magic.
Yeah.
It's like magic. And, you know, you think about the film, Black Man, most of the places the film is screened, they don't know anybody.
Yeah. And that's something.
They don't know anybody. And they walk away, or the Q&A, the talk back or whatever, is just, it's unlike anything I've ever witnessed. And I think that's the magic of us. I think it's something that exists within us that many forces have done everything they could for those things not to exist and have also brainwashed some of us into not understanding the wealth of that existence.
You'll catch a few podcasts. One I'm fond of watching is the Pivot podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch it. The thing I watch when I'm watching it is how people we normally see interviewed in different places, when they get in that room, how they kind of open up and they just have these conversations and talk about things. And, you know, just famous athletes, entertainers, just them on there, how they kind of behave differently. I saw Gail King on a woman, but just you saw them different, you know, and I, you know, you and I have the age, you know, we get together a few brothers and we talk and we might laugh and we can go from laughing to something serious in a heartbeat. And I wonder how we get younger brothers to understand the value of that and having those kind of spaces in their life, whether it's at church or with fraternity sororities or your buddies from high school, but having those spaces where you can just, you know, just talk and be a brother.
I think that that's the key, is having them in those spaces, having them a part of that, making sure that they are, if it's just one or two at a time,
yeah,
making sure that they are in the room.
Okay.
I think that's the key. Demetrius Harris saw the film for the first time 2 weeks ago in LA, and he almost didn't have words. It was very emotional for him to witness.
Okay.
He had never seen it, and he just thought, wow. So he's a young brother.
Yes.
His peers, imagine them being in the environment, witnessing something like that, and then witnessing the live conversation, Black Man Rise, you know, being a part of it, what that can do for them, what it does for them as it relates to motivation and being able to see yourself represented. And one guy saw the film, for example, and he's 35, 36 years old. And he said, you know, I felt like I was in therapy for the first time watching this film.
Okay.
And so it's really all about community, healing, support. And I think that some of our younger brothers, they have not necessarily witnessed what it is that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about. They've not witnessed it. Mm-hmm. They're not, many of them may not sit down for 45 minutes and watch the pivot. Or they look at the pivot and think, well, they're famous, they're rich.
They
different. Which is one reason why I have just normal everyday people in the documentary, so that they can better see themselves. And I'm not saying the other way is wrong. I'd like to be one of those rich guys too, that they look at and say, oh, he's rich.
It hasn't
happened yet.
Right. Yeah.
But they have to be in the room. And I think that's when they start to see, okay, he's just like me. He's just older.
Right. Right.
He's been through some things too.
Yeah.
He's just older.
Yeah.
He survived this too. You know, we put on, I won't say show, but sometimes what we represent on social media or wherever is not the whole us.
Yes. Yeah.
And young people see it.
Yeah.
And so then they think with their issues, well, I'm not going to approach him because he's doing it. You know,
he's a million miles away from where I am and what I'm dealing with. And
he ain't.
Yeah.
He might be a few miles from it only because of his age. But he's more relatable. He can relate better than you think he can.
Exactly.
In many cases. But I would say, to answer your question, I would say to make sure that they're in the room. That's what we've got to be more intentional about, so that it's not just me, you, and homies our age, our peers. We got to bring that young brother in and say, you know what? You need to be a part of this conversation.
Good. I'm going to take that thought with me as some advice, some things I'm hoping to do in the next year or so. So that's a good advice.
Well, you're the man to do it.
Well, you know, I'm like you say, you know, you kind of thinking like, what's the things I really want to, for me, it's like, okay, only got so much time. What's the things I really want to spend focus on next couple of years? You know, while I still have my faculties and a little bit of energy. And it makes it easy to say no to some things.
Yep.
But also, you know, it's like, I want to make sure I'm saying yes to the right thing.
Yes, sir. I like that.
Yeah. So
I like that, Reverend. I like that.
Yeah. We're running up on close to time here. Any other special plans for the holidays?
No, sir. No. I'm going to be around for the entire holiday season, which is somewhat of a rarity.
Okay.
I'm in Houston. How can I see your documentary? Well, Michael, we can talk about somebody bringing the documentary to Houston. Actually, there is a lady and David Jones who have been working on getting the film there. So in the meantime, Mike, follow the page on social media, search hashtag Black Man Film. All one word, obviously, it's a hashtag. Hashtag Black Man Film. And you can see everything about the film. including dates that we lock in as they're coming up, and testimonials, and you can see everything about the film. Hashtag Black Man Film. But follow the page, and that's where we'll post. That's where we will post first where the upcoming screenings are going to be as they're locked in.
All right. Good. Yeah. All right. Look, folks, want you to keep your eyes out for the Carlos Code Initiative. If you're out shopping on Amazon, it should be out shop or however you shop, buy an extra toy. If you're getting one for your kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews, just buy an extra one. You can drop it off, or they will. If you say you've got it, you reach out to the Carlos Code Initiative, reach out to the station. People will make sure they get it to the right location. All right. My brother John.
Hamburger Mikey's.
Hamburger Mikey's.
Cuisines by us.
Yep.
WVS.
Yep.
Urban Apparel.
All right. And your event on the 20th of December, we'll look out for that.
Yes, sir.
All right. And we'll be checking social media. I'm sure we'll be putting some information out here at the station as well.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate you as always, my brother.
All right. Love you, brother. You take care.
Love
all right.
You more. Thank all right. you. All we right. did well, good today. We did
oh,
good.
Thank you. You
know, we
thank
go
you.
For an hour or two.
Constraints. Always have constraints.
Yes, sir.
All right. Folks, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, our theme today was not just Christmas, but it's about us giving back and supporting our community. So as we roll into this holiday, rest of this holiday season, let's think how we can be a blessing to not just our family and our friends, but maybe somebody that we don't even know. This has been Community Focus. We'll look forward to seeing you next Friday.